morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and I'm sitting here looking at one of my favorite firemen around in life.
Hey, no.
Good morning, Rick.
That was past. That was a long way past.
So you're more than a fireman.
Yeah. He's my identity. He is my foundation. He is everything that I am.
Right on.
Outside of him,
we are nothing,
just
right?
Me.
Yeah.
So, no, he is the finisher of our faith, and I love that, Ron, that he did again a good work in you and I and all of our families.
Faithful.
Is faithful to complete that work.
Yeah.
And Father, may it be so today.
Amen. May it be so. And we asked a special prayer on Gus as he's traveling, doing some business stuff this morning. So he's out of the studio.
And we definitely miss him, don't we?
Yeah. But we have you, the listener, to have a conversation with us. Right? And you can do so by calling in with us this morning at
503-589-1220.
You can also write in to us at the number 3.
Wise Guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
You got it.
And we really need to hear from you because, you know, the people, his people, need to hear what the Father's doing in your heart.
Yeah.
And how he's touching you, and that will bring encouragement. I know it will to Ron and I, and I know it will to a lot of you out there. So we really need to hear, because we're just trying to be, Father, right, Ron? We're trying to be
a good witness.
Yeah, faithful.
Yeah.
To the calling. This was not our plan, was it, Ron?
No.
This was not our plan, but here we are.
Here we are.
We're going on, I think, 5 years,
look
Ron.
At each
looking
other
at 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's gone.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while. So time flies when you're enjoying.
Well, we do enjoy ourselves here because we get to talk about, I think, issues that are relevant, and we get to open up the scriptures and digest them, and we get to talk with you guys, and you get to talk with us, and we have a conversation that's wonderful.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Ron, our culture today is lacking that.
Yeah.
That dialoguing. You know, people are so busy texting. I see kids walking down the street, and they're not even looking up.
Baby.
They're so
tech-savvy.
Fascinated with their phones and getting their message across to whomever they're communicating with. But we lack as a culture the dialoguing face-to-face.
Right.
Ron, did you mean that? Is this the way I'm perceiving it?
No, that's not what I meant.
That's not what he meant. See, so we can eliminate those kinds of conflicts. Because when we write, we can misconstrue things because, Ron, do we usually think the best? Or
no,
do we think the worst?
Typically, yeah. Like, you could have possibly just meant that, and I'm angry at you for saying that. Hey, but today, we're going to have fun. We're going to be talking to you guys about a number of different topics, about some things that we want to recommend to you. We'll be in the first half hour. And then after that, we're going to bring up some stats to you that I think you're going to find fascinating. We're going to be talking about the top 10 reasons why people actually go to churches or fellowships, and then the top 10 reasons why they don't. And on the first half hour, we're going to be recommending you some things that we think you need to see and listen to. But before we do any of that, we like to open up with prayer. We're going to open up with a scripture, and it's a short reading that we just want to share with you. Rick and I stumbled across that this morning, and we just think it's important to go over with you.
But let's pray first.
Yeah, let's do it.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you again for your word. Father, we never can thank you enough. Father, it teaches us, your word teaches us how to live. It's the guidebook, Father, to your kingdom. And Father, your kingdom come today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in all of our lives and all of our families. Father, may we, as your people, be lighthouses to the world today. It's all we have. So, Father, help us to be good stewards. Help us to fulfill the mission you've called us to be on today. In your name, through us walking with you, Father, that just being a part of that, of what you're doing in us, will magnify you, will bring glory and praise and honor, because you're the only one worthy of it. We thank you in advance of what you're going to do with our time together this morning. Yeshua's holy, precious name, we thank you. Amen.
You know that word lighthouse?
Lighthouse.
When you said, let us be a lighthouse unto the nations. You know, if ever you want to read something fascinating, mm-hmm. then I want to recommend that to all of you listening, is read John, the book. It's in the New, it's in New Testament. It's, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John,
the Gospel of John.
Yeah, yes. And there's one of those books. It's chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And you're going to read a fascinating story about how Jesus, Yeshua,
yes.
raises up the dead and how he waits.
Ooh.
How he waits to actually bring it to happen,
mm-hmm.
so that he can be a lighthouse so other people can believe.
Amen.
In fact, he even encourages the people around him to say, hey, you know, this is the person that we follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to be a lighthouse today, do that, you
and,
know.
And, you know,
come on, man.
Ron, there was a time that I was more of a foghorn than a lighthouse. I'm learning to be a lighthouse.
Oh, come
you
on,
know,
man.
Let my light shine. And
this little light of mine,
I'm
going to let it shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are going to let our light shine. We're not going to hide it under a bushel.
No.
But we're going to let it shine.
Amen.
And we're going to even shine it around the neighborhood.
Yes. So, hide it under a bushel. No.
No. So a lot of us sang that, you know, and I love that. I love having that, those memories.
Yeah.
So many good memories. And
well, we have a little text we want to read to
yes.
you today. It's another book written by John.
Uh-huh.
And it's 1 John. And that's all the way towards the end of your Bible, okay?
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Into the New Testament. In the Hebrew, we call it the Brit Hadashah.
Brit Hadashah,
okay?
In Hebrew.
And these are disciples that wrote some of these books, and they're the ones that followed the teacher and Savior and Redeemer.
The Rabbi Yeshua.
Called Yeshua, yeah.
Yes.
And so in this one, we're going to be in the 1 John,
mm-hmm.
and the first chapter, and we're just going to read like the first few verses. And we found this fascinating this morning for a number of reasons. See if you can find out why, okay?
Yes.
You want to start it,
yeah,
Rick?
Go ahead. I will.
Okay.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Concerning the word of life. Who is the word of life? Who is the word?
Yeah, Yeshua.
Hey, Yeshua,
Jesus,
is the word.
People
was
know
the
him.
Word made flesh.
Yep.
And dwelt among us.
But notice at the very beginning with what you had, we heard him.
Yep.
We saw him. We held him. We touched him.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry. Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no, yeah. Verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So this person, this
mm-hmm.
Jesus, this Yeshua, this Redeemer, came down from heaven mm-hmm. from the Father and manifested himself.
Yeah, yeah. He was in the flesh.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Messiah. Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete.
Full.
Now,
full.
Rick, you read a couple things
mm-hmm.
that I think is imperative for us to understand as we start this segment. Number one, in the first verse,
uh-huh.
John calls Yeshua the word of life.
He is the word.
So there's life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he becomes manifested, he proclaims the eternal life.
He's the only one that brings eternal life. He bridges the gap between Yahweh, our God,
mm-hmm.
and man. He's the one. He's the bridge.
Wow.
Right? He's the bridge. He's the way we get there. He is the way, the truth, and life.
So life, I love that. Life is mentioned a couple times.
Yes, it is.
Wow. We've seen it, we've heard it, and we just started today with our prayer saying, are we a lighthouse? You know, if I would want others to have life,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't I become a lighthouse or a foghorn or anything?
Well,
really?
Well, have you ever seen The End Is Coming? You ever see the street preachers?
Yeah.
Repent.
Right.
You know, and I know that has a place sometimes. People have been saved by those kind of people. Mm-hmm. I know they have.
Yeah.
I've heard testimony. But a lot of people just, it's just another. And I think the same thing happened in Noah's time. Noah, when he was building for 100 years, building that big boat. You think they mocked him wrong? And never rain had never come on the land yet.
Yeah.
They said a flood. He said a flood's coming. Come on in. Not a one of them wrong besides his family.
But how does that happen?
And I know.
And I think it happens in these later verses. We're actually going to read these to you further. But when people are in the dark, when they aren't in the light of Yeshua or of God, they walk around in this fog, right?
They walk in the darkness.
Yeah, and they can't see.
They have blinders on.
They don't want to see. They don't want to hear. They just
heaven forbid we have to be accountable to a creator that sent his son. He tells us how to live, and I want to live the way I want to live.
I know, right?
Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. But I love this, Ron. These we write to you that your joy may be complete or whole or full.
So they want us to have joy.
He wants us to have joy.
Yeah.
He wants us to walk.
In life. And life.
Because he is the peace that passes. I really believe with all my heart, Ron, if you don't have the giver of life, you don't walk in true peace or joy.
Correct.
You can't. In yourself, wrong. If I have to depend on myself, there is no joy.
This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light.
He is the light.
And in him there is no darkness at all. So we're finding out that if I'm a believer in God, believer in Yeshua, I'm walking in the light.
You're walking in the light.
Not in darkness. No. So my blinders get thrown off.
Your blinders have been torn off, and all of a sudden you were blind, but now you see.
That's
what the Word says.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Right. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. Now notice what's there. Walking in darkness and not practicing truth. So there must be something about practicing truth, and I think truth is what John is telling us. Truth is life. Life is light. So, and seeing life in a different way, right?
And what did Psalms 119, the psalmist say? My word is truth.
Yeah.
And who's the truth? He's the truth, the way, the truth, and life.
But if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sins.
So we cannot cleanse ourselves.
Wow.
He is the only one. Again, that bridge. He's the bridge. He's the reason, Braun, we can face today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Outside of him,
there's nothing.
No hope.
Yeah, there's darkness. I mean,
darkness.
We'll have about 70 years to live.
Yeah, that's what the Word says,
Yeah, but...
Threescore and ten.
But if we actually look to the light, walk in the light.
Walk in the light, and you'll walk in abundance. He says, I don't come to give you just life, but I come to give you more abundant.
Speaking of life...
Mm-hmm.
And light, and not walking in an uneducated anyway, Rick and I want to make some recommendations to you this morning. Now, hang on tight, because you know that I at least like seeing a lot of movies. Rick doesn't see very many movies.
I don't see many, but
But we're going to give you a movie of light here right now, okay? And we're going to actually give you two. You want to go first?
No, I'm going to have you go.
All right.
Mine's a little more controversial.
Uh-oh.
So I'll let you go first.
All right.
Well, yours is controversial, too.
Oh, my word, yes.
Yes, sir. You kick the nest when you go into this subject matter with a lot of our
we do.
People in
around us. So let's kick the nest.
Let's kick it.
we want to recommend you guys with five stars, okay? I want you to go see the movie Unplanned. The movie, again, is Unplanned. It's written about the life. It's a true life story of Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson was a former employee of Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. who was one of the youngest directors within that organization. She finally came to light, speaking of light and truth, that these babies being aborted both midterms and late terms was a stealing of life. And she came to that realization, and she's been taking on the Planned Parenthood organization. I'll just read this quick little review for you, and then we'll go on here to some more stuff. Parents need to know that Unplanned is based on the true story of a former Planned Parenthood director who joined the pro-life movement after witnessing an abortion. The film's complex topic is given nuanced treatment, but ultimately it sympathizes lie firmly in the pro-life sentiment. Now, there is some graphic content in it, but it's not, as I see it, it's not as bad as what they make it out to be. Many of the Hollywood reviews are saying that this is worse than a horror movie. And they actually gave this a rating of a rated R to try to keep young people away from it.
They don't want the young ones. It's amazing to me, Ron, we talked about this earlier, that a young girl, a teenager,
13, 14,
can go get an abortion without her parents' approval, yet
they cannot go see the movie without a parent
before they're 17.
I know.
Is this the epitome of, oh, man, Father help us?
Because it does actually show a small section of two different types of abortions. And they show different things that are done at these clinics. And so you do need to know this.
Yeah.
And but I think truth is light. And if we can shed truth on what actually happens at these abortions, I think we can actually stop many of these things that happen. Other reviews tell us that this is the next Aaron Brockovich film.
I'm not familiar with that.
Erin Brockovich was a woman who actually stood up against some of the huge corporations that were polluting neighborhoods. Okay?
Okay.
And it was a great film also.
How would that, I wonder how they were polluting them?
Through the dumping of toxic waste and
in neighborhoods.
And electricity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And so this is a great story. I want to encourage you to see it. You can look it up the official trailers. It's called Unplanned, UNPLANNED. Take a look at it. Again, you need to go see it and support this thing. I can't recommend it high enough.
Well, yeah. See, our people just have to know the truth. People have to know what's really happening. And, you know, there was this doctor, I heard his testimony, Roland. He had performed over 5,000 abortions.
Yeah.
And he was they filmed it. And he just thought it was just pieces of, you know, meat.
Yeah.
He didn't know what, you know, he never really realized what he was doing. And when he saw that, and the grimacing of that child in agony,
mm-hmm.
with the torture that little child, as it was ripped piece by piece from its mother's womb, was going through, he says, we got to get this out to the world. We got to expose what's really, and he thought everybody's going to feel like he did. Guess what?
Yeah, well,
he went to battle.
See, even you telling me that does make me uncomfortable. But sometimes,
because the truth does make you. Truth hurts. Truth can be very sobering.
Yeah.
But we have to know the truth. And what will the truth do?
Set us free.
Make us free.
You know, Abby Johnson, which is what this story is about, she's spoken at many major events. She's a wonderful lady.
Thank goodness for people like that take a stand. Because you don't think she takes Big E, Ron? I'm sure
She's been threatened by the Planned Parenthood group and by the left-wing groups.
Money. Yeah. You know, it's all about, and the good news is, she did, you know, the Lord's honor is watching over this woman.
Yeah.
He's got to be, or she would have been gone already.
Yeah.
So, Father is faithful.
So go out and support it. I know here in the local area, it is in at least one theater. And
isn't that amazing? Just one.
Well, just to let you know.
And all we need is one.
Walt Disney came out with their latest rendition of
Dumbo the Elephant,
which they thought was going to be a huge hit. And guess what?
It's not doing quite as well as they thought it was going to do.
Unplanned is out
ahead of it.
Is ahead of it.
I love that. I love that.
So go ahead and see it. Hey, we have a couple more minutes. What's your recommendation, Rick?
Okay, my wife and I last night, and this is another controversial one, folks, but education, you know, what does his word say? My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Correct.
We have to know before we allow our families and our children to be exposed to these toxic substances, and it's called, probably some of you have seen it, it's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D.
V-A-X-X-E-D.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And Vaxxed the movie, and you can pull it up, VaxxedTheMovie.com, pull it up online. It's appalling what's happening and the cover-up of the toxicity of some of these vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but what you have to be is educated before you start to allow the most loved ones in our lives to be subjected. Rollins, and you've seen them.
Yeah,
families have been just destroyed. I mean, they're a lifetime of agony. And you just need to see the cover up that has gone forth in the medical industry.
Yeah, I think with both of these movies, what we want to encourage you to understand is that many times we think that the only ones that are arguing against abortion or arguing against vaccination or are uneducated, people that are living in some fantasy land that doesn't take the latest science. But I think what I want to try to get across to you is that if you watch these, you're going to find people that are educated, scientific.
These are from doctors, right?
And do have others' data to support their point of view. So I think what we're saying here today is that it's worth it. I think to at least listen to both sides of the argument.
You got it wrong. That's wisdom.
Rather than just one side.
Right. You got to hear both sides.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, me and Austin are our New Covenant brethren that are, you know, they worship on first day.
Mm-hmm.
We worship on seventh day. Hey, we're still brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And for most of my life, I did too. But then I see the scripture a little different now, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But but we just got to be careful, don't we, how we present this kind of sensitive information, because it is sensitive, and I'm dealing that with my own family, and
other options.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's other options,
yeah.
And they're telling. I really think there's a reason they're trying to mandate this procedure, because I think I believe with all my heart that the truth is being exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the light is shining on in the darkness, if you will. And boy, we have to be educated before we just allow our little children to be
super
subjected to these toxic, because you know, wrong, it's only a little bit of mercury in some of them,
yeah,
and these other substances. So do your homework, do all the homework
due diligence.
You can do. Yes, and be aware. And I really believe the Father will give you wisdom.
But at the moment, the three wise guys are recommending two films.
Yes.
And it's Unplanned and Vaxxed.
Vaxxed.
And we
Vaxxed
watched the
movie.
Film.
And it's called Vaxxed. I'll get it to you. Just hold that. Keep going, Ron.
On the next hour, we're going to be talking about the top 10 reasons why people go to churches or fellowships,
mm-hmm,
and the top 10 reasons why they don't.
Right.
So we expect you to call in and talk to us at 503-589-1220. You got it. And we're looking forward to that conversation a lot. So be willing to share some things with
us.
And
this is what it's back up to catastrophe.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nation.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, usually the number three, but right now we're down to two.
Yeah.
So, we just want to thank you for joining in with us, and we are looking forward to you sharing your concerns and your part of the conversation.
Yes.
You can do that at 503-589-1220.
Yes.
You can also write into us at the number three.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
Oh, you're better with the words than I am today. So we are going to take a look at the top 10 reasons why people attend a church or a fellowship and the top 10 reasons why they don't. Mm-hmm. We found this fascinating because we were reading some things from Pew Research.
Pew Research.
Now, Pew Research has nothing really to do with necessarily being in a pew or experiencing pew, but it has to do with pews within church buildings, all right? As we get into this topic, I want you to understand, or at least where Rick and I are coming from, we're not really making a point for or against something, but we just want to understand the dynamics of what happens, of why people either attend or don't attend.
Mm-hmm.
As most of you guys know, many people have struggled with the idea of church bodies or fellowship bodies because there's always this quote, "Oh, Rick, they're hypocrites and I don't want to go to the place."
I'm not going to align myself with any of those people.
No. Or they've lied to me and I don't want to deal with that.
Usually they have had a bad experience,
yeah,
most of the time.
And then there's some of you that maybe have really good reasons for not attending. Like,
what's a good reason?
Well, I want to be with my family. I want to be with all these events.
But you can be with your family and within a fellowship.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I want to be with my kids' soccer games, my family getaways. Yeah. So, you know, there's all these sorts of things. So we're going to get into these. And do you want to talk with the why people don't or why they do first? I mean, maybe we should go back and forth.
Well, yeah, we can do that.
What do you think?
I think we should talk why they do first. I like that positive.
Well, I know.
Is that surprising to you?
Well, no, it's not surprising at all, but I think they're both positive when I actually look at it. Because
are they both positive?
I've been finding,
why they don't?
Yeah.
You know, to take a few hours out of one day a week to go get with a group of like-minded believers? I don't know. I think... I always ask, where's our priorities?
I will dispel one of our first myths. And,
okay,
and this comes from the Pew Research, okay? And I'll give the first reason why some people don't. It's at a 37%. And then we're going to compare it to why you should or do.
Okay.
Okay? So number one, this comes from the Pew Research.
Okay.
37% of the people surveyed said they would like to practice their faith in other ways.
Okay.
Now, when I say that to you, Rick, what do you think that looks like? What's the picture in your mind?
Let's see. They want to practice their faith in other ways. I think some people wrong are just independent and say, well, I don't need to go meet with anybody. I just meet with Yahweh in my house.
Okay.
Yeah. It's him and I.
Okay.
And I could see where you could want to do that every so often, but not on a continual basis. Because his word, what does his word tell us? Don't forsake the gathering of the saints. We need one another. We need you and you need us. See, it goes both ways, doesn't it?
When I heard that first stat, I was thinking, well, it's that picture of, hey, we aren't reaching the millennials in the right way. We need to have coffee in the foyer. We need to relax more. blah, blah, blah. But according to the Pew Research, none of our reasons that we just gave, Rick, are actually true.
Okay. At least according to their research.
Yeah, which is pretty extensive. I mean, these are thousands of people that they do.
Okay, sure.
More than half the people in that 37%, say they haven't found a house of worship they like, and so they practice their faith in other ways.
Okay.
Now, when they studied this further, it was mostly women.
That's kind of interesting.
And 6 out of 10 were saying that because they were in poor health and they couldn't get to a place.
Well, that makes that's a good excuse. If they couldn't get there.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are shut in, and we get that. That you cannot physically get to someplace. But, you know, Ron, even if I was in a wheelchair, I think I would kind of humble myself and ask somebody if I didn't have somebody to, could you please come help me?
But that's it. Most people are too embarrassed to ask.
I know.
And so in the midst of all this thing of thinking that we have to make church more cool, we're finding that the largest percentage of people who aren't attending are the people who can't find ways to attend.
They can't get a ride.
And so they start to practice, according to the research, they start to practice in other ways, like a radio ministry or something else, so they can still experience this. And so what this hit me right between the eyes, Rick,
I know,
is how we need to think out loud. Anyone that has a fellowship or a church, maybe our first priority should be find out how we can help others
get there. Great idea.
Wonderful observation, Watson.
Yes, sir.
So that moves us to the number one reason why people do attend church. What do you think that is?
You ever thought about maybe just trying to get closer to our Creator, maybe?
Yeah, and most people view that as hearing the Word.
Yeah, He is the Word. The Creator is the Word.
And that's
the Word made flesh.
It's the number one reason.
Makes total sense to me.
Now, we used to think that it was, well, the number one reason why people would want to attend was because of music. And that's not so true as what we think.
No.
The number one reason people want to hear something that motivates, that encourages, that causes them to move to study. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, I kind of looked at the pastor thing and I go, oh, those are a bunch of egotistical people that want people just to follow them. I don't think that's true after looking at the research. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that a good pastor would be a person that says, hey, I want to encourage you. I want you to look at it. And I know you guys might be feeling down this week. But here it is. Look at it. Go and study. Now let's go.
Well, and you know what I love about somebody from the pulpit that says, Roland, hey, don't go by what I test what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and do your own testing. And if I'm wrong, please come. And, you know, hey, we've all been wrong before, Ron, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's right all the time except the one that laid his life down.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love it when a leader will encourage their people to go out. I know we've had churches in the past, and we have churches today that really don't. I will teach you everything you need to know. Just listen to me.
That's wrong.
You don't need to go anywhere else. And you, maybe not all of you, maybe some of you have heard people say that.
Yeah.
And, man, to me, that makes me cringe.
Yeah.
Because nobody except the one, again, that laid his life down has all the answers.
Yeah, but look at 1 John. And that,
I know.
What we just did. The disciples were actually giving sermons to people to motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from worship house to other worship house. Now, most of these were all meeting at synagogues or major churches.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Timothy was one of those big ones.
Yes.
And so we do know that these guys were actually going out and motivating to do those. So Paul would even say to the Bereans, thank you for testing me. Thank you for folding my feet to the fire.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So I think it's important. So the first two things that we're dispelling here right away. Number one, reason why people who do not attend, the largest group, are those who can't find ways to attend. So they start practicing their faith in another way.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason why people want to go to a church and do go to church is to hear the word.
And to get closer to their creator.
And it makes sense to me because most people are working so hard, they don't study as much as a teacher might study.
Yeah, I get that. Sure.
Yeah.
When a teacher has dedicated his life to the studying of the word, I mean, he's going to have a lot of goods that we don't have, you know, as lay people that don't have the time to put in like a full-time giver of the word has.
So, and according to the Pew Research, let's go to number two of why people do not go. Do you want to guess what it is?
Why they don't go.
Yeah. What do you think the next biggest group
Ron, those people, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there. They don't walk with they don't practice what they preach. They have two faces.
Well, that could be a cause.
And we all got to fight having two faces, don't we?
Right.
Yeah, we're just little Asian guys. So I'm trying not to have two faces. And so I kind of use her line. But, you know, yeah.
So the number two thing is...
What is it?
They are not believers.
They are not. Let's see. The reason they don't go because the people there aren't believers?
No, the reason they don't go is because they don't believe anyways. 28%.
Oh, that makes total sense.
So I'm at 37% of they found a different way because they can't get there. And then I'm at 28% means I don't believe anyways.
Right. Okay? I'm not a believer, so why would I want to waste my time? I want to go out and do what I want to do.
So that's a
do
lot.
It my way.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
my goodness. All right.
Yes.
Now, listen to this. And this correlates, I think, on the reasons, too.
Okay.
Because if people go to hear the word, they want to hear these things, things that penetrates their hearts and transforms their lives.
Mm.
When they're called to repentance, they're encouraged, and they're inspired to follow Yeshua.
Amen.
All right? So the number one reason to go is to participate in a corporate worship setting.
Yes.
Now, that to me makes sense.
That's like, do not forsake the gathering of the saints.
So what's the benefit? Why would you, Rick, want to go to a corporate worship setting? What does it do to you if you were to do that?
Well, it encourages me. You know, I really think, Ron, there's some power when a group of believers come together in unity and worship our Creator. Something happens. And to me, there's a special thing that happens during that, you know, when like-minded people come together. There's something that happens, and definitely sometimes more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you're just encouraged. You're just, hey, I'm not alone.
Yeah, you know? I was just going to say
I'm not alone.
You know, if you want to become part of this conversation this morning of why you think people attend and why you think people do not, you can call in at
503-589-1220. Yes.
And you can write into us the number 3.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
I think this is an important topic for us to understand a little bit clearer because we received a number of emails from people asking that we explore it further because we're in a society right now that does seem to be separated from anything that's religious.
Well, we're kind of are a post-Christian nation, I think, overall. Don't you think overall,
yeah,
Ron?
Yeah.
I mean, when we're letting live babies die on a table that's born botched abortion,
mm-hmm.
we have slid from our spiritual roots. We have slid from our foundation, what this country was founded on, those biblical principles.
Well, yeah.
That still made us, we used to be great because... We were not good. I hate to say good. There was only one good, but we were. But at least we had a moral compass, and we had a code of ethics. Well, where does that come from? His word.
And
you throw that out.
And typically, his word was being preached and taught and experienced.
Yes.
In full body fellowships and churches.
With most people, I'd say the majority back then. I don't know how far, many decades back.
Hmm.
But back, even when I was young, Roland, in my 50s and 60s, a lot of people went to church.
Yeah.
A lot did. So.
Well, let's get to the third reason.
Okay,
why
third
people
reason.
Do not go.
Why don't they go?
26%. Can you guess what it is?
26%.
Why they do not go?
I have a feeling maybe that there's just not any place I ever feel comfortable in.
Well, you're close. I
can't find a place that I just I feel like a fish out of water. I just don't feel like. I just feel very uncomfortable.
Well, the third reason at 26% is there's no reason at all.
There's no reason to go? There's just no reason.
Just no.
Why would I waste my time? There's no reason to go.
I thought that was amazing. And I think that's a very important stat.
Well, if you have no faith, Ron, and you don't believe in a creator, why would you go meet with a bunch of people that do believe? If you think about that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think you just hit it on the head. I mean, if I'm not feeling close to a Savior, if I don't see any reason to be
if you don't believe
the
there's
word,
a God, why would you go meet with a bunch of people that say they know Him? Right?
I know.
It makes sense.
So what would that tell any of us that do have the desire to know them? How would we reach this particular population?
I think the only way you can reach them is by our actions. They have to see, Ron, something different about us. I shared the story with you about the family that had their, they were up walking in the mountains, and there was this waterfall, and their son fell into the water, swept over the falls to his death.
Oh, my word.
And a friend that I worked with saw that happen and saw how this family was able to navigate through this terrible thing that happened to their child and saw the faith that this family had through such a tragic situation that had happened. And she says, there's got to be a God. They said, this is amazing how they were able to say, hey, we'll see Him again.
Yeah.
We miss Him terribly, and we hate, you know, but somehow, some way, the Father is, and so point being, the Father did bring good from this, you know, because her family had become, you know, believers because they saw how this family was able to, get through this terrible situation.
We're actually going to get it. That's actually one of the reasons why people do go to church, is they can uplift one another. And that's down the list here, ways, and we're going to get to that one. But I think this no reason to attend it shows the lack of understanding of what spirituality is, or what I can gain from being at a fellowship, or
what
can
it do for me, Ron?
Right.
I need it to help me.
Yeah, but the thing is that some people do need help, and
of course
they do
they
need
do.
It.
All of us need help, really.
And so I would
some more than others for sure.
That rather than people saying there's no reason to attend, maybe they can see something in their life that's lacking and therefore cause a reason, which again tells me, it goes back to what you first started at the start of this show.
Okay.
And that is, if there's no light on their hill, if there's no light on the hill,
right,
then how would anyone expect a reason to go? Imagine for a minute, Rick, just imagine if there were no churches, fellowships, or anything at all.
No place to go.
In the U.S.
Wow.
Then we're going to be like what happened in Europe. There's no light on the hill. So why would anyone have a reason to seek out? Because there's nothing to look to. Unless someone happens to stumble across a believer in a cafe, and that light is shown.
And this person says, hey, I don't know what it is this person has, Roland.
But I want some.
But I need it.
Right.
I need it. I need that hope that person has.
Yeah.
And, Father, may it be so with us today.
Yeah.
May people see something in us. See, it's not that they like us, Ron. They just like who lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
See, they see something they like, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
See, so I had a guy tell me the other day, we got to get together for lunch. This is somebody who just retired, and, you know, but they see Yeshua in us, see.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're good. We're absolutely not. He was the only one that was good. But hopefully as we go, bottom line, the longer we serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
I know, right?
I love that song.
Well, here's the number three reason why people like to go to church.
What is number three?
Okay, and should go to church. Iron sharpens iron.
Ooh, I love that part.
Now, I think what's amazing here is that, you know, iron rubs against iron, and what happens when iron rubs against
iron? Ooh, it gets a little heated up. Get a little friction going there, and it's kind of, oh, man, that's burning a little
bit. Yeah, any sparks happen?
Man, there's some fireworks over there.
So what's the benefit of sparks?
The benefit, well, sparks give off light.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if there's too much sparks going on, we have to find out.
You got
to
be fired. You don't want to burn anything.
You have to read this. When you live in a community with mm-hmm. other believers, you will get bumped around.
Yeah.
And what spills out of you is what's in your heart. All right? Working alongside believers in a church fellowship is a wonderful way to grow your love for God, Yahweh, and for others.
Amen.
It's an opportunity to learn to work through issues. Now, I think what's so amazing about this is when we separate ourselves from groups, we never really learn to work through any issues.
That's right.
Okay.
That's why he says don't isolate yourself.
Right. So we become a little bit selfish to our own ideas and perceptions.
It's all about me.
Me and what I think is right.
I know.
Rather than working through, hey, Rick, you have a difference of opinion. Hey, Roland, you have a difference. How can we work through this?
Yeah, exactly.
So it teaches us to grow.
Problem solving. That's what happens in our families. If we don't learn right at home, Roland,
yeah,
you're going to have problems when you go out, too. It all starts at home, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
So I think this is one of the best reasons, for all the reasons, to actually go to a fellowship or to a church. It forces me to learn to get along with others.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough road.
Well, yeah.
Wow. Listen to this quote. If you stopped attending church because people hurt you, didn't measure up to your expectations, or they're hypocritical, know that the enemy has you right where he wants you, because Satan's tactic is to divide and to conquer.
That's right.
If he can pull you from any flock, you are now vulnerable to his deceptions and attacks. Satan will use your lack of love for God's people, for Yahweh's people, to quench your love for God himself.
Mm.
Now remember, even in John says, if you can't love others,
that's right.
How is God going to love you? If you can't forgive others, how is God going
he
to
can't
forgive you?
Yes. That's why he commands us to forgive.
If in response to the offenses of others, you've wandered away from Yeshua, maybe we ought to consider wandering back into a church or fellowship.
That's what's so wonderful, Roland, about forgiveness. None of us deserve it.
Yeah.
But it was extended to us, and that's why he commands us to forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what they did to me, Ron.
Yeah, I know, right?
You don't know. See, and that's what we all hear. But, you know, hey, we know that what he did for us, so. And he knows with forgiveness, Ron, that is freedom. There's freedom. Clean slate, born again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Today is the first day of the rest of my life, see?
Yeah.
And, man, pretty wonderful thing.
Now, just so you guys know, these comments that we're giving mm-hmm. is from not only a religious source, but also from a secular source.
Yeah.
The 10 reasons why people attend and the 10 reasons why they don't attend is actually coming from CNN.
CNN.
On a few
wow.
research. So this is the world looking in.
Yeah, they're looking at us from the outside.
Okay.
So this is what they see.
Yeah. And and I just want to give you the CNN reports on the top three, because we're going to move in,
okay,
of why people do attend. So I was giving you an article of why people attend, but now I'm giving you the Pew Research. 81%
okay.
attend church because they want to come closer to Yahweh God. 81%.
81%.
Number two, people attend because they want their children to have a moral foundation.
Yeah.
Let that settle in for a minute. 82%.
They want them to learn right and wrong.
So that's why they go to a fellowship or church.
But it needs to start at home, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not just a few hours on a...
But most people feel they aren't doing well enough at home, so they seek help outside.
Well, that's important. You bet.
Which should tell us something about churches and fellowship. Our priority needs to be in...
and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and Roland was really wise right there. He forgot to turn on the on button. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, Rick, we are talking about why people do go to churches or fellowships and why they don't. And you're welcome to become part of the conversation at 503-589-1220. We are quoting from a Pew Research report that was given at CNN, all right? Okay. And I find it fascinating. We were going through some of those don'ts and some of the do's. I'll just repeat them to you again on the don'ts. There's four of them so far, and I'll give four of why they do. This is directly from the CNN report. Number one, of why they don't, they practice their faith in other ways. That was 37%. Most of these people were practicing in other ways because they couldn't get out to go to a place. Number two, they are not believers at all. That was 28%.
Mm-hmm.
And they found number three, no reason at all, which is 26%.
Mm-hmm.
And number four, they haven't found a house of worship that they like. Now, I want you to notice here on all four of those reasons, they is the foundational point of all of it. It's what they want.
Right.
Now, listen to the four reasons for the Pew research of why people do go. I want to become closer to God, 81%.
Yeah, makes sense.
Number two, I want my children to have a moral foundation, 69%, 70%. Number three, I want to become a better person, 68%, that's almost 70 again. And I want to find comfort in times of trouble or sorrow, that's at 66%.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that I worked with, Roland, and he was not a believer at all. And he says, you know, I can see when you lose loved ones that people of faith have a lot easier time.
Yeah.
And I says, that can be you too. He says, oh, no, it can't be.
Hmm.
He says, that can't be me. I said, hey, he laid his life down for you. He says, oh, no.
Hmm.
And he just couldn't accept, Roland, that forgiveness would extend to whomever would seek it out.
Hmm.
That he would ever seek the Creator, that he would extend that free gift. And he just could not grasp that with his mind. And he just says, but I can say, I said, that Mark, that can be you too.
Hmm.
He says, oh, no, it can't.
Hmm.
Just like he couldn't accept that forgiveness. He was a very, very affluent man, had lots of wealth, but, you know, in the end, Ron, what is it if you gain everything?
But lose your own soul.
Would be separated from our Creator. You know, it'd be all chasing in the wind, like King Solomon said. Wow, that is, to me, hopeless. That's hopeless.
Yeah, but what you just gave me, Rick, was a picture of why people will eventually turn to a group.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it does to me, knowing that I belong to a group, it's a wake-up call.
Well,
because if people are looking for a place to worship, to come closer, to find comfort, to have their children being taught,
exactly,
and they want to become a better person, so if those are the top four reasons, then does that tell me that a fellowship or a church should be worried about where to move a pulpit or man's traditions of doing things? It actually tells me that a church needs to be aware of who they're ministering to and how that church needs to minister, or that fellowship needs to minister. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Roland, it says in the end, I forget the address. I'd have to look it up. But it said in the end, there's going to be a famine of hearing the word.
Oh, my word, right?
A famine of that people would want to have their ears tickled. Right. They want to go to church and just feel a whole lot. Instead of going and maybe being convicted, say, man, I got to change some things.
Right.
And be encouraged to study and get closer to their King and learn more about his heart. So we got to really be careful, don't we? Bottom line.
Yeah, I think there's something really important about groups that meet.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Here's something else to think about. This is on another article of this is coming from the 10 reasons why to go to church even when you don't feel like it.
Even when you don't feel like it. And, you know, there's a lot wrong. I don't know about you. You probably always feel like going to church. But there's
sometimes I do not.
There's so many things I could rather be doing, but it doesn't matter what works for me. Maybe I need to touch somebody else. See, we got to get our focus off ourselves. Go ahead. Complete
no,
thought.
No, finish your thought.
No, I'm just saying that it's not about us, bottom line. It's about maybe what we can extend to others, and that's where we just got to get our focus off ourselves.
Stats tell us that in most churches or fellowships, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's a stat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? This is not to make you feel guilty, but it's rather to inspire you that there are giftings that's been given to you that you need to be involved with. Do you know what? I've always found it fascinating that everyone says, well, I don't know if I can get involved, and I actually need to leave in order to create my own ministry to get involved. That's a lie. I think most leadership, in fact, all would say, you want to get involved? Awesome!
Start serving.
Tell me, and we will put you in place.
Yeah, we'll plug you in.
And there's this little thought that comes in the back of our mind. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
They don't really need me.
They don't. Well,
they don't really need me, so I don't want to get involved.
They need you, and you need them.
Amen. Here's from Luke 10:2. The harvest is truly great, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers.
Harvesters.
Yes. Yeah. Your willingness to help minister within your church. Now, think of it this way. Because we aren't seeing this picture. Rick, I'm so excited about this. The CNN Pew Report is a secular report.
Yes.
That's a secular report. Now, let that sit in.
That's the outside looking in.
It doesn't come with any of our baggage, any of our perception.
Right.
Now, if people are looking to go to a church to, number one, come closer to God, that's the number one report, to be a better person, to have my kids learn something,
right.
Okay, and to receive comfort in time of trouble. Those are four reasons why a secular person walks in through that door, any door.
Okay.
Now, let me get that straight. That's through any door. So any of you that are listening right now who think that you have this all answered because you've gone to a church for so long and you understand everything, understand why a secular person walks into the door. Now, put that picture on, and you're saying, well, I'm not going to become involved at my church because they don't need me, or I don't see eye to eye with them, or I don't want to get involved.
You notice each one,
I, and you're forgetting about the reason why a secular person comes. That's the reason why they come. And if you're sitting on your pew doing absolutely nothing, then you are no longer ministering.
Right.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Ron. When I see new people, I always go over and greet them and make them, you know, feel at home, because that first impression, studies have been shown that first impression they have, that how that first time going back to church, because probably most of them had gone when they were kids or sometime during their lives.
Yeah.
But going back, how they're treated, how they perceive things is a gauge whether they're going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a bad experience, guaranteed they won't be back.
I know.
They just won't.
Boy, this kind of got me all riled up. If ever you want to become part of the conversation, you can do so at
503-589-1220.
And you can write into us to number 3.
Wise Guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
Yes!
Yes, so...
So we're back to
it would sure be neat to have somebody call in and...
just and correct
us. I mean, yeah, correct us or help us or just and or encourage somebody else or you got a call coming in, brother.
Oh, I do. Hey,
brother Paul.
Let's see if we can pick him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. Who are we talking to? What's your question or comment for us?
This is Jericho Shav, and it actually worked this time.
It did. How are you,
perfect,
sir?
Paul. Good to hear your voice, brother.
Hey, I was going to tell you the reason I am not going right now is this one fellowship of similar views. It's more of a church that has some Torah overlay. So it's not really a Messianic fellowship in the sense of, you know, a Messianic Hebrew Jewish.
Sure. Thing.
But I was actually thrown out on Yom Teruah a couple years ago.
Whoa.
Because somebody had stolen a credit card from the church office and used it.
Uh-oh.
Which, okay, I can understand that being an issue. I'm not
yeah.
arguing with them there. Yeah, okay. But they mandated that everybody had to stay in the building, in the sanctuary, the whole time they were there, and if they left the building, they had to leave the premises.
Oh, no.
Well, I have a substantial, you might know this, I have some substantial mental health issues.
Yeah.
And one of them is social anxiety, and so what happened was the pastor's telling you that this is the new rule. And I get up and I say, well, I'm just going to go home now because even better, I'm going to have to disrupt everybody when I have to leave.
Sure.
Because I can't sit there in a crowd of, you know, 75 people in a small room and get anything out of it. And that's when he became angry and ordered me off the premises.
Oh, no. Well, that doesn't sound much like a church to me. It almost sounds like a convent?
Something.
My son, who is somewhat secular, I'm not saying he's devoid of faith, but he's a little confused. He said, and this man calls himself the man of God.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of these people that you're talking about who comes in from the world, and he's saying this is BS.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if someone like that is smart enough to figure out there's something wrong here, there's something wrong here.
Yeah, there is something wrong there, and I would definitely, I would probably have the same issue that you would have. And, some churches are Bible-believing and God-fearing, and then there's other churches that are not.
Well, as soon as they say you cannot do something.
A lot of people that are.
Yeah.
But the leadership, I almost fail to call them leadership because I question whether or not they're really leading.
Yeah.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, according to the Pew Research, and there's another reason why people need to go to the church, is actually to encourage or to direct the pastor, whoever is leading. And I think that's an actual calling. I think that if there's a pastor that's doing something wrong, we are called to actually to minister to them.
Yeah, to lovingly correct them.
They are people, too, and if we can't minister to them and they go by a deaf ear, then according to Matthew 18, we're to bring someone else in with us. And if that's a deaf ear, bring in all the elders.
He's given us guidelines for those kinds of conflicts. And, sorry for that bad experience you had, Paul, but you got through it.
Yeah, bless you anyway.
Yes.
Right on.
Amen.
So keep on following and don't give up. All right,
Paul.
Well, no, I've never doubted my faith.
Amen.
This stuff happened to my brain. My faith has been the one constant thing that has kept me as sane as I am.
Yeah.
Well, bless you, brother. Hey, one day at a time, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Amen.
Thank you for calling in.
Good to hear from you, Paul. Have a blessed day, brother.
So,
wow. Yeah.
Boy, that's a negative experience.
Well, yeah. I'm sure lots of other people have them, but, you know,
that's sad, actually.
Well, yeah. It's just, you know, people, you know, we're flawed, aren't we?
Yeah.
We really are, and we try to handle things the proper way, but a lot of times it doesn't come out right. It just doesn't.
Well, let's look at the other thing. Okay, so we're going to try to stay positive.
We want to stay positive.
Yeah, we're
wise guys got to be positive.
Yeah, we're going back to the Pew thing and CNN.
Mm-hmm.
18% of these are people why they don't go. We have 18% that say they don't go because they don't like the sermons.
Yep.
Now, 18% is pretty small.
Yeah, that's less than, yeah.
Now, on the other side of why people go to the church is almost 60% say they do like the sermon.
Yeah, 60 do, 18 don't.
Don't.
Well, that's good.
But, let's see if I can balance this. That's that number five reasons to actually go, which is what I was just saying with Paul. We should go, like the Bereans were with Paul, to actually encourage pastors or evangelists or teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get down too.
Everybody needs encouragement, Ron. Everybody. And everybody thinks, oh, he's the pastor. He doesn't need my help. Yeah, he does. He's a human being too.
Teachers, he's evangelists.
Everybody. Everybody needs words of encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, we all need, because that's the way I think Father made us, don't you think?
Do you ever wonder if Moses or Elijah or any one of those guys needed some uplifting time?
He'd say, Father, these people. Oh, I think he poured his heart out a lot to Father. I really do.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, Moses was surrounded by Joshua, Aaron, Miriam. He also had other 70 elders.
Yep.
And you wonder if they lifted him up, you know. So
hopefully, I'm sure they must have.
I think they did.
Yeah. But Paul, boy, not Paul, but Moses, he had a, wow, it had to be difficult. He had to be a man.
Now, you're probably wondering here today, I mean, why is Roland and Rick beating this thing down in? Because, I mean, are we beating a dead horse? Why are we talking about churches, fellowships, going to them or not going to them? I think it has to do with the very thing that we brought up at the first half hour. Churches, belief systems, moral compasses, Bible are all coming attack from the outside world.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if we don't find ourselves around other people.
Oh, yeah, the world.
What do you think?
The evil one's going to get you off by yourself. And what's he going to do? Like we've said so many times, whack on you.
Yeah.
He's going to whack you. And we, that's when we really need, hey, Father, have you ever had to pray and say, Father, man, right now I'm really lacking faith.
Yeah.
I really need help with my faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And, boy, we need to hear the word. We do.
Yeah, churches have been one of the biggest givers in philanthropy.
They've
been the biggest givers in the emergencies around the world. They've been the biggest givers for helping people turn their lives around. If I was Satan, I would want churches to be defeated.
Attack the churches.
I would want...
Bet. Attack the foundation.
I'd want fellowships gone.
Yeah, we gotta disperse these believers.
Yeah, I would
get them out there. And if you can get them by yourself again, I think that's the way he can. What's one of his biggest tools, Ron, to get us discouraged?
Yeah, division.
And to help divide us. That's what he wants to do.
So let's look at number six of why people don't go.
Okay, what's number six?
What do you think it is?
Six.
Just guess. I'm just curious.
Oh, guy.
Both of these are so opposite.
It just doesn't meet my needs.
You're close. I don't feel welcome. That's at 14%.
Well, only 14%. Say that.
I don't feel welcome. 14%. Now, typically, in the area of psychology, most people have perceptions of themselves that are negative.
Of course.
So they start to feel
feel uncomfortable anyway. You know, they're just walking in.
But let's listen to what CNN has to say and Pew has to say why you should go or why people go. It's the absolute opposite. And that is to be a part of a faith community. And that's at 57%.
Wow. To be a part.
To be a part.
A believing community. Wonderful.
So if I go down to the other article that I'm comparing this to, number six on 10 reasons why you should go even when you don't feel like you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Number six says is to find godly mentors or teachers to encourage your walk.
There you go.
Those three blends.
Oh, yeah, that's paramount. They have to see people that they can... You know, confide in, they can glean those wonderful biblical principles that only comes from his, come from his word. And people really, that I really believe, Ron, that's part of being a doer, being doers of the word.
Here's a quote. Not only is going to church or fellowship a wonderful place to find amazing mentors, it's also the place God wants to use you to mentor someone else.
There you go.
With one eye looking to godly older women for guidance and your other eye on the one or the Almighty who might want you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
How can I make a difference today?
No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what Yahweh God has prepared for those who love him.
1 Corinthians 1:9, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
I was
so
one
close.
Chapter off. I was close. 2:9.
Man, I'm having...
Thank you for correcting me.
Are you having fun with this today?
This is beautiful. I love this. I love it when we're in the His Word, encouraging one another, and it is good to see what the perception of the outside, though. I think how that so we can maybe we need to adjust some things.
So let me go to one more before.
Okay, one more.
This is number 7.
Number 7
of why people don't.
Okay.
Can you guess?
Don't want to go to church. Help me out.
I don't have time. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time. I don't have time.
Time. If you can't make time.
Well, it's 12%. Okay? So let's go to the opposite side. 37% say to continue our family's custom of going to church.
It's kind of been tradition that they always gone to church.
And it binds
our custom.
So it binds our family together. It gives us something that binds us together. Okay? Mm-hmm. So on one side of don't, I don't have time.
Right.
The other side says it puts our family together, 37%. So let's compare to the article that I'm comparing to.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, I can't believe what this says.
What's it say?
Oh, to teach your kids to actually love the church or fellowship. Wow.
Love his people.
So if I don't take my kids to church, then the kids learn not to love anyone outside of the family.
Yep.
Those church people are bad, so we don't go.
I think that's where people get independent, and it's kind of how we're raised, Ron, don't you think is huge, how we're raised?
Get a hold of this quote. If you want to teach your kids to love Yahweh, they need to see that you love Yahweh. If you want to teach your kids to love Yahweh, they need to see that you love Yahweh. And if you want them to learn to love God's people, they have to observe you loving God's people. Oh, my goodness. This is two-pointed.
I think we have a tendency to think that our kids aren't paying attention.
They are.
They're little tape recorders.
And they're little doers.
They're little. They'll do what you. They want to be like you.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful to model.
Yeah.
The right thing.
So
the word says.
So imagine a little kitchen table. Well, I don't want to go fellowship with those people because they're weird or they weren't kind to us.
So those people have that perception. Oh yeah, that's how those people are over there.
And
boy,
what are we seeing nowadays with the millennials? Most of the millennials are not going to a fellowship or church.
And a lot of them go through college. They're going when they start college. By the time they get done,
all by myself.
Yeah, they've lost their spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me kind of sobering, Roland. That's happened to the younger generation.
We're up to 7 so far. We've only gotten one caller in. Give us your opinion of why people should or
please
should not.
Please help the wise guys.
It's 503.
589-1220.
Yes. We're coming up to our last half hour. We're looking forward to hearing from you and appreciate you so much.
Yes, we do. More than you realize.
I know. Well, that's why I get up every morning. Well, not
well,
every
I know
morning,
Paul's
every,
out.
Every
we know
morning.
Paul's out there, but
Paul's away.
Who else is out there?
Rick, do you actually want to get up this early in the morning to start things out?
Hey, it's a good way to start the day. I'm energized and ready to get going.
Right.
Don't go away.
Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nation.
Back with the wise guys, and it's just great to hear to be here with you. We're talking about why people attend or go to attend church, and I have someone on the line right now with us, and I'm anxious to find out.
Oh, man, I was just thinking about this individual.
Who is Thomas, and what's your question or comment for us?
Brother Kenny, I was thinking about it. I said, man, if I don't hear from him, I'm going to call him.
Yeah, I figured, you know, God's telling me that I need to call.
Good for you. Hey,
man.
Hey,
well, we needed to hear from you.
So speak up a little bit more, Kenny, if you can. And because I have your volume up as much as I can on this side. So why do you think people attend or don't attend church? We have been quoting from the Pew Research, from CNN, and a couple other articles, and it's been fascinating. What do you think is going on?
Well, let me take you off my Bluetooth. How's that?
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Much better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that is better, Kenny. Yes.
Well, I think sometimes why people don't want to go to church.
Okay.
Is the people that do go to church are very judgmental.
Ooh.
Very judgmental. Well, you got to do this. You got to be able to. I'm not talking to Uncle Jake. Excuse me.
You got the grandbaby. Love it.
Yeah.
I love hearing those little voices.
So, because people go, you know, people that are going to church, they forget how to treat people. They forget the love of our Messiah.
Amen.
You know, so if you're not going to go to church, well, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong. So why in the world would I want to go to church if somebody's going to judge me because I smoke or I've had a couple of drinks or I've done this? Or, well, you've got to just give it to God instead of saying, you know what, I love you, man. I'm sorry that you're having a hard time.
Hey, Kenny, I don't know if you were here at the start, but on this research that we're quoting, there's the top four reasons of why people go to church. And that first one is, I want to come closer to God. Second one,
yes.
I want to become a better person. I want my kids to become a better person. And the fourth is, I need comfort in my trouble.
My time of trouble.
And so if the church or the fellowship understood those four reasons, I think they wouldn't be so judgmental, because the very reason why people are coming is they want to get closer, they want to receive comfort, they want to become a better person, and they want their kids to have help. Those are the top four reasons.
Yes. You know, I agree. I you know, I was listening to this other gentleman that got escorted out of whatever it was.
Yes.
And it's because nobody really wants to hear, like you said, hear the correction, hear what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go up to my pastor. I love my pastor, David.
Yeah.
He's so amazing. Yes, because he preaches what he lives and lives what he preaches.
Right on.
And he preaches from the pulpit that he's accountable to other people.
Yes.
And he's not afraid to say, okay, here's my finances, here's my computer, where am I going? And what's happening in my life? How you talk to my children and see how my children talk about me.
Yeah.
And when a person is that open because they love the Messiah, now the person is going to go, oh, is this person really that open?
Yeah.
I think people need to be a little bit more open about their lives and not hide.
Yeah.
And then they can learn to love the Messiah. And the people that come into the church will go, I love this place. These people are open. They truly love the Messiah because they're giving everything to him.
Yeah, man.
Am I making sense am I just babbling?
No.
Makes total sense.
When you're comfortable with what you believe,
yeah,
then you have no fear to share that belief. I have no fear to say, hey, I'm learning like you. If I'm dispersing something that's wrong, I'm open and I'm teachable to show me that I'm wrong.
That's the key right there, to be teachable.
That is,
yeah.
Oh, that is so important because sometimes, well, I'm the pastor. I've been studying. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this Hebrew. You don't need to tell me what's going on. Well, this is what the Bible is telling me what's going on. Well, I don't care.
That's true, Kenny.
Well, I find it fascinating, you know, that when people are in an emergency, these stats that I was reading today, we're at 70% and upward on why people seek out a church or fellowship, and it's and to me, it's a wake-up call to everyone that's part of a church or fellowship.
Mm.
People are seeking to come to you for a reason, and if we're infighting or if we're not wanting to be a mentor, if we're not wanting to become involved towards the ministry, then we have our own selves to look at. It isn't just the pastor we should be upset at. We should be upset with ourselves, for crying out loud.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why do we go to the hospitals?
Well, to get healed.
To get better.
Then why do we need to go to church?
To get healed.
Get better. You know, yeah, I heard this guy say, yeah, churches are like hospitals. There's a lot of sick people there.
Yes, there is.
Amen to that. And it's just not the broken heart. It's a broken mental part.
Right.
Amen.
You know, we were talking earlier about how many times people will not go to a fellowship or church because they don't like what's happening. But if we can't learn how to deal through, or get through issues, then how do we ever learn to get issues? You know, one of the other quotes here that we had just read, and I want you to hear this because I think it's fascinating, okay? This has to do with kids. If you want to teach your kids to love God, they need to see that you love God. And if you want them to learn to love God's people, they have to observe you loving God's people. Not separating from God's people, not arguing with God's people, but actually loving on God's people.
Oh, man.
That's a big challenge.
That's a big order, yes.
And it really is. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, I've had my grandson with me, and, you know, all I want to do is seek Yahweh to love him with all my heart. Because I want to be one with Yahweh.
Mm.
And with my brokenness and my frustrations, and I have anger problems, and I'll be the first one to admit that, but God has really been working on my heart and where all my problems come through. And you were talking about, was it Rick or Gus was talking about kids are a mirror. They're a tape recorder.
They are. Yes, they are.
And I'll see my grandson go, and make faces and get in, and they go, oh, that ain't right. You know, and he gets, you know, I see him how he reacts in my actions.
Hmm.
And so we could teach our children, okay, we're only human beings. We're going to make our mistakes, but we have a Heavenly Father that will forgive us and teach us to go the direction. Let me teach you. I am so sorry I blew it.
Hmm.
But let's go to God and take care of this frustration. Let's go to God to help us heal. So I think, and that's so important. We need to love God. We need to love the people of Yahweh, no matter what they have done.
You know what? You are bringing something up that's so critical because, you know, one of the reasons in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about one of the reasons why we should disfellowship from one another. One of those reasons is gossip. And hang on just a second, because I think what you just stumbled onto is so imperative. If a church is, or a fellowship, is a group of people that come together to get healing, and they share with one another their hurts, their pains, and their transparency, and we pray over them, and we choose to heal them, and we choose to support them. Can we see why Paul said gossip was such a bad thing? Because if a person bears their soul expecting healing, and then we heal that person, but then we go out to the world and we gossip about that person's trials or their sins, Boy, I can see why Paul was right on. It's because we should hold that person's testimony close to our heart and not share that amongst other people.
Keep it to yourself and lift them up.
Just lift them up and pray over them.
Amen.
Hey, well, why would I want to go to church if these guys get to gossip about my personal stuff that I didn't bear to them?
Yeah.
Why?
They're going to air my dirty laundry? I'm not going back there.
Exactly. And Kenny, you actually gave the best analogy at all. Doctors are held to a code of conduct, which means they do not get to share personal information on that patient that came in. And so we have to be in the same boat. We don't get to share the personal information.
Amen.
Well, and you said something, Kenny. You talked about being able to admit, you know, when we make mistakes with our children, to be able to say, you know, honey, I made a mistake. Can you forgive me? You know, I kind of flew off a little bit. And be able to humble ourselves, I think, is so powerful, because these children, they are so quick to forgive.
Yeah.
You know,
they are.
May we be likewise. May we be like them.
But
you know,
you're so right. And why can't we say, you know what? I blew it. I flew off. Will you forgive me? Let's take this to God in prayer.
Amen.
To help Saba, Grandpa in Hebrew. Saba is Grandpa
Saba.
In Hebrew. So, and so let's take Daddy or Saba or Grammy and let's lift this up in prayer to not get angry like this. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. So when we blow it, we ask for forgiveness. Why not just pray right then and there?
Right on.
Oh, man. Good words, Kenny.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Good to hear you. Don't stay away so long. Hugs to Michelle and the kids for us.
I will definitely do that. Hugs and kisses to you all. You're all amazing. I love you guys.
Love you.
Bye, Kenny.
Super blessings. Right. Bye-bye.
Super blessings. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, boy. You know, Ron, we all make mistakes, and it's usually with the ones that are the closest to us. You know, if we can learn that wonderful, please forgive me. I overreacted. I did whatever I did. And to be able to, you know, that's why, you know, Ron, if somebody asks us for that, you realize we are commanded to forgive that individual.
The reason why I go to church,
why?
Even when I don't want to, goes right in line with what you just said.
Okay.
Number 8 and 9. Everyone is looking for acceptance and a place to belong. Whether people admit it or not, they all long to be known and loved for who they are.
We all need to be loved.
Galatians 6:2 teaches us to bear each other's burdens to fulfill the law of the Messiah. Life can be hard. We know that we need to bear each other's burdens.
Amen.
The very reason why we need to come together as a community. By coming together as a community, we become a light on the hill.
Amen.
That is so cool.
And it says, they will know we are His by our love.
By our love.
For one another. And that's what we're learning. We're works in progress. We got a ways to go. You know, and boy, Father, teach us.
Wow. Why have we gotten to such a stage of being so, you know, we've gotten so critical in life through negativity against churches and fellowships. I think it has to do with things that happen to us.
It's usually bad experiences we've had, and it's baggage that we carry, Ron, I think. And what does it do? It makes us overreact.
Mm-hmm.
When we have other undealt with issues, I think when something happens, it's something wells up in us, and we just kind of overreact, and we kind of major on the minors, if you will.
So do you
a little
think,
bit.
Do you think I... Do you think I'm required to forgive the church if they hurt me? What do you think?
I think it says unless you forgive, he cannot forgive you. So we are required. I think it's a commandment. He said that in Matthew 6, right after he told us how to pray.
Okay.
Then he goes into, I can read it to you.
No, do it. I mean.
Yeah, because forgiveness is such a, man, what a wonderful. What a wonderful plan that our Father had, and He knew we needed it. And it says here, it says right after, you know, it goes to the Lord's Prayer
okay.
in 13, 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven, Father, forgive your trespasses. This is Yeshua speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So it's a commandment. We are commanded to forgive. He says if we don't forgive, he will not forgive us. I mean, that's powerful stuff.
Another one of your favorite texts is Hebrews 10:25.
Oh, I love
not forsaking the assemblies of the saints, or not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Now, some go ahead and say, well, I'm going to forsake this. But exhorting one another, that means uplifting and directing and teaching. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching.
There it is.
So as he approaches, as he starts coming, as his arrival is ascending, all the more reason for us to assemble.
Yeah,
in order to encourage and exhort in the move.
Yeah, because he knows that we need each other. And when I'm down, I need your encouragement, Ron.
Yeah.
When you're down,
yeah,
you need our encouragement.
Exactly.
So it goes both ways, and we're all, it's important, isn't it? More so than we even realize, I think.
I'm amazed at how the secular research goes right alongside even some of the religious research and articles.
Mm-hmm.
We see the need. We're just blinded to it, I think, by our own selves, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If someone else wants to call in, we have about 10 more minutes at
503-589-1220.
Why do you go to church or not go to church? Why do you think, what's in the way? I mean, what's maybe caused some of the angst or the negativity against bodies of believers meeting?
Well, that's another way to approach it. I think more so than not, Ron, we've talked about this before. I think people have had bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I think something they had been hurt. I talked to a guy, a neighbor of mine, and he had gone to Bible school, and he was going to be going to full-time ministry, and he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'll never step foot in a church again. And I'm hoping that the Father's going to give me the opportunity to share with him. But see, this was a man that was going to go into the full-time ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, I mean, wow.
Well, it almost happened to me.
Ron, you said for 30 days you never came out of your house.
I never came out of my house. I was hurt
so much
by the church
wounded.
Body. Yeah.
You were so wounded. That was your plan. You gave up everything
to be
going to full-time Christian
ministry.
Service. And look.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it took me years to actually, to forgive.
Ron, tell me this. If they would have come to you and said, Ron, we are so sorry that it happened the way it did, would you have been able to forgive them?
Absolutely. Well, not right away, but
it would have taken some time.
It would have taken some time, but I would have known that.
You got a call coming,
and
in,
I would have done it. You know, it's pretty awesome. So let's go ahead and pick this call up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys. We're talking about why people go, why they don't go. All that kind of stuff. And we're using some research to help us out. So who's calling us and what's your question or comment for us?
Boker Tove, gentlemen.
Hey, Boker Tove, Robert. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voices, too.
Thank you.
Well, I don't think I'm any stranger of opinion in terms of this subject, but, you know, I think a lot of it is pretty on par for the liberal polls. I think a lot of it makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of people, like I've said, from a secular background, a lot of people that I've taken to church, you know, they're glad that their head didn't explode into flames, and others just don't feel like they want to be programmed psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that from a secular perspective. And I think others just have had bad experiences, you know, that they really had a hard time healing from, whether it's they didn't get the job they wanted, or they can never get to the position that they know they're called and gifted in to help out in the church ministry and that sort of thing. But, you know, people have to make it work. You know, they have to really seek God when he says no and be patient.
Yeah, see, Robert, according to the Pew research from CNN, I found it fascinating because when they did this was not just church believers that they were going over. And the top four reasons why people wanted to attend was, I wanted to come closer to God. I want my children to have a moral foundation. I want to be a better person. And I want comfort in times of sorrow. So those are all, 70% or more is what the response is given. And the reasons why they don't were really fascinating. None of it had to deal with, I feel that I'm being programmed. On the top four had to do with, well, number one is I can't get to church. That was 37%. And number two at 28% was I'm not a believer in any way. And number three, they have no reason at all. That's at 26%. And number four might go with what you were saying, which is I haven't found a house of worship that I like, and that's at 23%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really critical because, yeah, I think people can find a place to worship that does meet their needs and where they can talk openly and they can have that New Testament feel of I can bear my sins, I can give testimony, I can all these things, I think. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that a lot of that, you know, I can relate to one of those at least. You know, my home Messianic fellowship is way too far from my neighborhood. And
yeah.
So it's very difficult in my situation because I have a hard time with transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I haven't, you know, failed to seek out a church to engage in, you know. I mean, there's a church just down the block from me that's essentially a bunch of wounded believers that have gotten together in a coffee shop and said, hey, let's tell you the word and just be real about it, you know.
Yeah.
We don't need church tradition or a set service. In fact, we change the service quite frequently just to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
And, you know, just allow people to be people and be real and talk with one another, engage. You know, what can we do to impact our neighborhoods and communities? What can we do, you know, as a group to study? How can we worship together? How can we do communion together? How can we do Bible study together? You know, I had the wonderful pleasure of teaching a bit about the Passover a couple weeks ago, and I had a wonderful experience kind of dramatizing it a bit. And I think they really enjoyed that, you know, because a lot of them are conventional Christian backgrounds.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think the only reason why I sometimes look at these stats is mostly has to do with families and kids. Many times families want to get kids involved in something, and it's tough for kids to just understand the coffee shop, but the adults can, and I think that's wonderful.
Okay.
Hey, we only have a few more minutes, Robert, and tell people about what's going to be airing on Hebrew Nation Radio. You're going to be you're involved on Hebrew Nation Radio with a wonderful show. Can you tell people the name of that and what it encompasses? You got about a minute and a half, so do the best you can.
So I am broadcasting on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time and 5 a.m. Pacific time on Saturdays. And this is a show called Kadosh Shekah, which means holy worship. And it is a show that examines the biblical roots of biblical instrumentation and some music history from a Hebrew and Greek point of view.
That's the thing. You know, I've listened to it. It's fascinating. All of you guys are going to love this. It's in depth and it's entertaining and it's fascinating. So I really want you guys to tune in to Robert's show. You got to do it.
So 3 p.m. Robert?
3 p.m. Thursdays.
Okay.
And then 5 a.m. Shabbat.
On Shabbat morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tune in, you guys. It's awesome. Thank you, Robert, for calling
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, brother.
Be good very, to hear you. Very blessed.
Take care.
Shalom.
Shalom. No.
Yeah, wow.
Now notice, yeah, Robert portrays another group of people that are looking for fellowship.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible. Light that shines.
Outside, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.